Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 12 January 2023, Thursday class. So today's sharing will be the continuation from this book, Straight from the Heart Unit Dhamma Code, extracted from my talk and sharing. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo bun si si jia mo ni fo. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo guan si yin pu sa. Namo Guan Si Yin Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sam Buddho Bhagawa Buddhang Bhagawantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panati Pata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina Dana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamadatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Padipa Puja Ganna Sarappa Dithena Dipena Tamadang Sina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudhang Ganda Sambara Yutena Dupena Hang Sugang Hina Pujaye Pujaniyang Tang Puja Bhajana Muttamang Vanna Ganda Gunopetang etang kesuma santati pujayami munindase siri pada sarorohe pujemi betang kusumenanena punnena patena ce hotu mokang pupang melayati yata idang me kayo tata yati winasa bawang adivase tu no bante panyang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutemang adivase tu no bante pale parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang adivase tu no bante bojanang parika pitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutemang. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and to help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power, and sharing and transferred merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, 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 Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. So remember the four support, especially the first three. Relax, aware, maintain awareness for as long as you can to stabilize awareness. And finally, the last support is trust. So awareness-based meditation is very simple, like the sentence explained clearly. is to enable us to develop the inner awareness within. When you can do it, then you will be able to develop the meditative mind. The meditative mind is the silent mind without thought, and that is our awareness nature. So as long as we understand without thought, the nature arises. When there is thought, it clouds the nature. So in order to develop this awareness, we need to technically stop the thinking. But the mundane mind or the thinking mind has been so conditioned, and because of the conditioning that we have exposed ourselves to, and because of the memories that we carry, and also to our own delusion, we created the mental hindrance that hinders our mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness to develop this awareness between within. So because of that, we need to train. We need to decondition all this heedless thinking. We need to be aware of what is going on, to see clearly how all this conditioning that we have exposed ourselves to, all these memories that we carry, the accumulation of views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, tradition, culture, everything that we accumulate in the brain, all this create thinking, heedless thinking, especially for those who don't have the Dhamma understanding. So awareness-based meditation is to reverse all this heedless thinking. So what we need to do is, the first support, you need to know how to relax, completely relax body and mind. Relax means be at ease. Don't do anything. Don't try to know. Just feel your entire body and mind in a state of relax. Whatever arises, whatever mind state or any tension, stress within, you will just relax into it. So ability to relax is very important. When we are completely relaxed, means we got no problem, no issue, nothing. That's why physically, mentally, we are at ease, completely relaxed. But if you are holding on to things, you cannot relax. You have things bothering you, you cannot relax. You tend to arise a lot of fearful thought, worrying thought, and all these are mental hindrance. Then sometimes you feel unhappy, the mood, the emotion, all this are the movement of your mundane mind, your thinking mind. It's nothing to do with your true mind. And all this arises because you are not relaxed, inability to relax. So learn to relax. Allow everything to be natural, the breathing, everything. Let it arise and pass away naturally. Just relax. And the second support, aware means just be mindful without thought. Mindfulness is awareness before the knowing. When you are just aware, before you perceive, before you know, before the rising of thought or feeling or any of this mind aggregate, that is aware. So the second support, aware, is very important. Just aware, whatever arises, aware, finish, aware, finish. Then the third support is maintain this awareness for as long as you can, so that this awareness nature begin stabilize. Yeah. So these three, if you can do well, your mind will settle down. Because by being aware, there is no thought, no thinking. Then whatever thought that try to arise, perception, tactile, or whatever, they will just arise. The awareness aware, finish. Aware, finish. Just allow it to be. Then after that, for those who have stabilized their awareness nature, who already know how to develop this stability or awareness, you can move on to the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to meditate. No more interference from the thought process. No more thought involved. So to do that, you need to maintain awareness around your heart area. Yeah, heart area. If you have a meditation object, the meditation object will become very subtle. Very, very like subtle until you can hardly feel it. Yeah, means your mind has entered sati. So when your mind has entered sati, means your stability or awareness is already there. Then you can stay around your heart area. Then don't try to do anything. Just let the awareness nature detect whatever that arises. If there's any vibration or your heartbeat, you can feel it. Just stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Be with it. Yeah. Until the awareness and the activity become one. Yeah. Then you will come to realize everything will start to slow down, slow down, slow down, like dissipating. Whatever thinking, whatever sankhara activity, whatever mental activity, movement, emotion, or what, when you relax, maintain awareness, it will slow down until it dissipates. Then you will experience a sudden stillness, a sudden quietness of mind. The mind will become very quiet, very still. And that is a very important moment. That moment, even a glimpse of it, is very important, very useful. That is your true mind, your silent mind, your awareness nature without thought. So when you experience it, don't be curious, don't be excited, just aware, finish, and allow it to stabilize, allow it to develop. So you can do that, then you will develop good progress. You can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakkamokkhadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Padanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayam Padanta Namo Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Iti beso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho vicacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu anuttaro purisa dhammasarati satta deva manusanam Buddho Bhagavati Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehi Pasiko Opanayiko Pajatang Veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Ujjupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Samicipatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Yadidam chatari purisa yogani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato saokasango ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkhineyo anjali karaneyo anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati sadhu sadhu sadhu. I think we are at this code number 28. We finished code 28 and we are going into unit number code 29. But before that, I would like to share this short I think it's just a short comment by one of the listener. I think it's not from our Kayamita group. I think it's from overseas. I don't know where. Jinhao just sent to me. He said there is this friend. He was listening to one of my sharing on the YouTube, and then he had a very good remark. He said, very much appreciated. Then there's another one, Lisa. He put his remark, he said, one of the best lectures. Thanks. So this one came from the unique Dhamma code that we share in the earlier session. Unique Dhamma code number 21 to 26, he said. He said this is one of the best lecture he has ever listened to. I said thanks. So people who can develop the understanding, they appreciate. So for us as Kayamita, all this to us is very familiar, so you can actually benefit much more you listen to it. That's why all this unique Dhamma code, the title I put straight from the heart, unique Dhamma code, as spoken by me, Brother Teo. So this one, there are a total of 160 over codes. And each and every one of these, the code are very unique, very special, and very profound. If you can understand, you will penetrate the true Dhamma, you will awaken. These are really beautiful, unique codes. So that's why for those who can appreciate or understand, they will benefit in a very unique way too. So if you were to look at the whiteboard, I just go through as a quick revision for Dhamma Code 28. What is thought? So basically, as a definition, if you develop the inner awareness within, when you are mindful, you can understand thought is response to memory, and thought is limited. Why did I say all this? So if you look at the whiteboard, you will know. Thought is response to memory. Without memory, if you are mindful, you will come to the realization that you cannot create thought. Thought can only arise where there is memories. Otherwise, the baby will know how to think. The baby will have thought. But the newborn baby, they don't have any thought. They are incapable of producing thought. They need to learn a lot of things, commit to memory before they can arise the thought. So when you are completely silent and aware, this statement become very clear to you. Thought is respond to memory. That's why I asked the question, what is thought? So basically, thought is respond to memory. Then why did I say thought is egoic? Because the thought that we create is limited. And before one become enlightened, the thought that one create most of the time is egoic because of that sakkayadity, self-delusion. Sakkayadity means you believe you exist, you are real, there is a human being or a living being that is a permanent and changing entity that existed. So that personality created the ego, the egoic mind. But contrary to what is believed, the Buddha said, there is what we call the egoless nature within. Means beyond thought, there is a nature within that is without the ego, non-self. So in order to understand this, we need to ask the next question. How do we create thought? So we went through all those. Then I also give you a very important understanding. If thought is egoic, therefore without thought, there is no ego. And now you understand why I teach you all to develop the awareness-based meditation. When you are in the state of sati or mindfulness or awareness, there is no thought. No thought means no ego. No ego means no manifestation of the egoic mind to create the actor, the personality, the I and the me. So this I and the me is the manifestation of sakkayadity. So the egoic mind comes about because of the Sakadity or self-delusion that trigger off the I and the me. So this is the personality. So because of this personality, the ego, we believe we exist. Then from there, the evil roots of greed, selfishness, possessiveness, attachment, craving, clinging, grasping arise. Then when things don't go your way, you develop unhappiness. That's why anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, negativity of mind state, even the violent nature, everything will arise. So greed and hatred, the two major evil roots, they arise because of this ego, the personality, the atta. Then when there is this what they call fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, how did they arise? They arise because of that ego too. That ego that don't understand, when it is not capable of understanding, that it will trigger off fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation. So all these are the third of the last evil roots. So greed, hatred, and delusion is a result of this ego manifesting. So these are the three evil roots, root of all evil, that will make you evil. That's why the main culprit is always this delusion, self-delusion. The self-delusion created the ego. And before one is enlightened, the thought is always egoic because you have this superiority, self-delusion. And self-delusion condition the evil roots of greed and hatred. And all the various mind states that torment living being and brings about sufferings. Then why did I say thought is limited? Thought is limited because we need to understand what is thought, how do we create thought, and how thought arises. Without mindfulness, without sati, the stability of it, you cannot see, you cannot understand. All this only become possible when you start to develop the meditative mind, which is the silent mind, the inner awareness within. So when you are without thought, when you are able to develop that inner awareness without thought, then what happens is the mind become different. The thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is dependent originating condition arising, which is just a causal phenomena, cease. When thought ceases, the mundane mind also ceases. Activity of mind, the aggregates of mind, the feeling ceases, perception ceases, sankhara activity ceases, and finally when you realize nibbana, even the pure awareness or consciousness also ceases. But the first thing to manifest is the pure awareness. When there is no thought, your awareness nature, which is all the time there, will surface, will manifest. Because you can't see this or realize this, is due to the result of heedless thinking. When you have a lot of thought process, thinking, emotion, sankhara activity, mental activity, then that thing clouds the pure awareness. Then you are lost in thought, heedlessly arising all the thought processes. Then through that Constant heedless thinking, it conditions you into believing that you are a creature of thought. Thought is the only instrument that living being has. And you believe the thought is you. You think a lot. Without thought, you cannot live life. You cannot understand things. Everything needs thought. Thought is the main instrument of living, studying, learning, everything you use thought. Not realizing what thought is, not understanding what thought is, then you get yourself into deep trouble. So when you have mindfulness and awareness, you will start to realize this. Without thought, the pure awareness arises, and this is your true mind before the thinking, before the stirring, before the arising of the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the manifestation of consciousness and its content, which give rise to the thought. So this thought is basically pure awareness and its content. So what happens is initially the true mind is just pure awareness. Without thought, it's just pure awareness. So this pure awareness is just spacious pure awareness. Very, very spacious, the oneness nature, pure awareness. Then what happens is for us to create thought, we have this memory, this perception, everything, we have the senses, then we focus. So that spacious pure awareness zoom into a small area where you perceive. It can be seeing or hearing or smell or taste or tactile or thought process. So when you zoom in into a specific area of perception, just like that Kuan Yin image or the Buddha Rupang, how do you perceive it? You have to focus on it, zoom in, then develop the perception. So from spacious pure awareness, you shrink the awareness into a small space. So this small space, you use your memory, your conditioning to perceive. Then that perception, which is from memory, becomes the content of consciousness. And when you perceive, if your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, and delusion, the content of consciousness will follow. That's why it's wholesome or unwholesome thought. They call this the citta, the thought. Means the pure awareness with its content. That's why we call this the receptacle. Then you put in the content of consciousness, these two, you add up, it becomes the thought. These two, yeah, become the thought. So that's why this one become limited. It's no longer the oneness, the spacious awareness. So thought, because if you are mindful and aware, you can see how you create it. We have been creating thoughts since birth until now, but how many of you can really see how it arises and how that thought was triggered off? Yeah. So understanding this will give rise to the understanding that thought is limited. And when you know thought is limited, you are like the Malay proverb, kata di bawah tempurung. You only deal with the activity of the thought, means the content within. Whatever content of consciousness inside, you continue to move it. Your heedless thinking continues to develop all the emotion, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the movement of thought. When you project your thought, when you develop all the negative emotion, But sometimes it can also be happy emotion. When you are having a nice, relaxed holiday somewhere, or when you are meditating, you develop good mind state, tranquility of mind state, peaceful mind state. Then sometimes when there is pity, there is joy or blissful state. So all these are the various mind state that can arise within the content of consciousness. And this movement is what thinking is all about. Sankara Sanya. Because of Sankara Sanya, every time there is contact, there is feeling. And feeling, as you all know, there are three: pleasant, unpleasant, and neutral feeling. But living being has a lot of delusion, duality. You tend to react to what you perceive or see or hear or smell or taste or tactile feel or think. So that perception trigger off the duality involved. That's why like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. These are the reaction of mind, the stirring of the mind. So if every moment of sense experience you do that, you are creating mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. Your like and dislike are your sensual desire and ill will. Pleasant, unpleasant, also sensual desire and ill will. And both are part of the evil roots of greed and hatred. That's why the first two mental hindrances are very powerful throughout the day. If as a human being or living being, you keep on arising this, what will happen to you? It will become habit. We call it habitual tendency. So if throughout the day you habitually stir your mind and react with all this like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, the stirring of mind, the reaction of mind will make you heedless. That's why the mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will make you heedless. The lack of peace. That's why people cannot meditate is because of that. So when they try to silence their mind or develop meditation, they got problem. So what they do? Of those who don't understand, they will introduce method, technique, and object of meditation to fix your mind, to anchor your mind so that it does not think, so that it does not wander off, so that it does not react, so that you enjoy the peace, the one-pointedness, the concentration. Means you force everything into one point, develop the energy field, then experience the state of peace without thought, but it's a conditioned mind. Everything killed into one point until the mind cannot think, cannot move. That's why they call that one-pointedness, samatha meditation, or what they call energy field. Then sometimes you develop continuous absorption or mindfulness. It can also develop into very strong absorption. The mind enter absorption and become very still also, very quiet. Yeah, when it's continuous in mindfulness, it went into excess concentration and beyond into apana samadhi. So apana samadhi is a very deep state of samadhi. Or what we call absorption. It's not concentration, but absorption. You absorb into it. Your mind become like whole thing, very still, absorb into it. So this part we have gone through. I went through as a revision to explain it further so that it will benefit you. So now you go to unique code number 29. Thought pertains to the mundane mind. So this one I think by now you should be able to understand, And thought is dependent, originating. You have to contemplate and reflect into this. Why did I say that? Why did I say thought pertains to the mundane mind? Because without the mundane mind, you cannot create thought, you cannot think. And thought is dependent originating. Why? Because the mundane mind is dependent originating. Without causes and condition, there is no thought process, no mundane thinking or activity. So this part, you have to contemplate, reflect, to develop the understanding. I will explain it afterwards. Thought arises and passes away according to condition. You can see this in your meditation, daily mindfulness, or when you develop stability of mindfulness and awareness, then you will understand, because you can see the moment of its arising, sustain, and then passing away. So when you see this, then you will start to develop the direct seeing, the silent observation through the pure awareness, using the true mind. This true mind will insight into phenomena and awaken. Then you will understand how you become what you are, how you stir your mind, how you react to sense experience, how you develop all the emotion, the fear, the anxiety, the excitement, and all those things. So all this will start to become clear. Then you start to understand who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. So all this will be a natural consequence of that silent inner awareness, ability to meditate, to understand and awaken to all this. So I will read this again. Thought pertains to the mundane mind, and thought is dependent originating. Thought arises and pass away according to condition. So this one you have to develop the understanding. And because of that, hence it is impermanent. Because dependent on condition, it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. So if it's impermanent, because it is dependent originating, then if you want it your way, which is not nature's way, it will lead to suffering. So the whole code becomes very meaningful. When you want things your way, which is not nature's way, you suffer. And when it is observed clearly, when you start to understand that your five aggregates of form and mind, they are all dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. They have the universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. When you see and realize impermanent, you will also realize the suffering state and the non-self, empty nature within. So this quote is not easy to understand and realize if you don't have mindfulness within. So now we will try to develop it as a discussion. So the first part of that quote, thought pertains to the mundane mind. Can you understand? Can you understand? You can understand that easy. I don't need to explain. Anybody can understand. What is the mundane mind? The mundane mind is the thinking mind, when thought is active. Because the true mind is without thought, so it's obvious. So thought pertains to the mundane mind. That is the first thing you have to understand. And thought is dependent originating. And this one you need to develop further understanding. Why is thought dependent originating? Why? Then why did I say thought arise and pass away according to condition? You have to understand this. Huh? I already told you, without memory, there is no thought in it. So thought arise dependent on what? Memory, isn't it? And what is memory? What is memory? You cannot remember.
Stored images.
Yeah, whatever you store is all of your experiences, good and bad, that you have accumulated. That's why memory is the accumulation. You accumulate them as memory. Yeah. And what are these that you accumulate? You go to the next code, it's explained there. Unique code number 30, memory. What is memory? Memory is accumulation of experiences, good and bad. This is a very good definition, very complete definition. So it includes one's views, opinion, conditioning, scars of memory, phobia, insecurity, your tradition, your belief system, etc. Yeah. So here I already include quite a lot, but there are still other that you can add into, because memory is of the known, and the known is a very vast experience and knowledge that living being accumulate inside their brain. So what I have given you are the main what they call content of memories. Then from there you can develop a lot of understanding. So if these are memories, then thought is respond to memory, which means whatever memory you hold will create that type of corresponding thought. True or not? Huh? If you hold on to a lot of phobia, insecurity, what will happen to you? You will give rise to a lot of wrong thought, isn't it? Fearful thought, isn't it? Then when you create all this wrong thought, it will bring about what? Huh? What are wrong thought? Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Thought that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, your lack of peace, your suffering, your misery. These are all wrong thought. Then why do you think that thought? Yes, you accumulated them as memory. Like that day I share Song's question and experience, you remember? How the memory, through your slight wrong perception, when you perceive something with negativity while in the midst of life, it goes in very fast. It's already accumulated. That's why without mindfulness, you cannot see all this. Without mindfulness, you cannot understand. So this is how you start to understand. Thought is dependent originating, means respond to memory. And memory has all this. Your views, your opinion, especially our conditioning, our belief system, our scars of memory, our phobia, our insecurity, even what they call those who went through depression, they can even develop panic attack. So all these are very common. Then the other one is insomnia. You cannot sleep. So all these are the sickness of the mind. Negativity of mind state. Then your tradition, your belief system, which are your religion and other things, All these are accumulated. Of course, your knowledge is included. You can add in knowledge, technical knowledge, scientific knowledge, worldly knowledge, and all sorts of knowledge. So, depending on your views, opinion, belief system, and all this accumulated memory, your mind stir and react to sense experience according to that. That's why it's dependent originating, dependent on the memory that you carry. This thing trigger off. So because of this understanding, where you see with mindfulness how you become what you are, how all the wrong thought arise and condition you into misery, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, insecurity, phobia, and all these things. What are you going to do? Then you realize you should not act according to those rubbish inside that memory, isn't it? So we have to be careful about the knowledge and the type of memory that we carry. And most of the time, before you are enlightened, before you have the Dhamma understanding, your memory is where hell is. I call it hell, H-E-L-L. When you go to your memory, you are in hell. After you have the mindfulness to observe all this and you see the danger of memory, so now you start to understand why I always share with you all, acting according to memory is not acting at all. So this statement is very important. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. You have already gone through this, but now we need the understanding of it. Why did I say acting according to memory is not acting at all? This is a very typical human problem. Humanity has this problem because based on our education, our upbringing, our society's conditioning, this is the only instrument you have. You only have the memory and the thought process to let you act. Basically, what is thought? Thought is respond to memory, isn't it? So memory and thought are related, isn't it? So memory and thought, they are related. So acting according to memory means acting according to your thought process, which are your thinking, your conditioning, your belief system, all the things that we define, your accumulated memory. And before you are enlightened, before you have the Dhamma wisdom, you will only have this as an instrument for you to act. True or not? Everything that you perceive through your views, opinion, conditioning, belief system, you act according to that. Can you see that? When you are mindful, aware, you see this very clearly. Then you know how you react to sense experience, how you stir your mind, how you get angry because of your wrong view, your delusion, your conditioning, your memory. So the question is, if you don't act according to memory, then what do you use to act? How do you act if you don't use memory? Can you act without memory? Who wants to answer?
Intuition.
Intuition is another expression of the mind process. But intuition is better than memory. But intuition is not necessarily all the time correct. Because what you call intuition is you may relate it to your conscience, your intuitive conscience. But that one is not really wisdom and understanding. But that one is a better protection. Understand? Because most people will know, according to your conscience, there are a lot of things that you cannot do. Understand? Like you cannot kill, you cannot cheat, you cannot misappropriate or take advantage of people or harm people. So your conscience will not allow you to do that. Then intuition is intuitively, it's from outside of your psychological area where the intuitive, like they call it sixth sense, allow you to act. Yeah. But that one is not foolproof, not wisdom. Yeah. So what I want to add in here is, the first part is, these two, memory and thought, before you are enlightened, your memory carry a lot of rubbish. You don't have right view. You haven't straightened your view. So if you act according to memory, it's not acting at all. This one is hell. Understand? It will condition you to stir your mind, react, create your fear, your phobia, your anxiety, your insecurity, and all the negative tendency that has the evil root there. Because memory always accumulate all the fearful thing, the very strong experience that you encounter in life, like your phobia, your panic attack, your whatever dreams they call nightmare. All those type of dreams. Then sometimes because of your fear, fear is behind all this. Like when you study during your exam years, in the uni especially, sometimes after you graduate, come out and work very long, you still dream that you haven't passed your exam. A lot of people had that dream. So how did it arise? Because of this fear. When you are under intense fear, when you go through the education, especially uni education, because the fear of failure. And uni, they will tell you, you can only fail your whole graduation course, if it's 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, depend. You can only, like engineering, we take 4 years, you can only repeat 2 years maximum. Yeah. Then they kick you out. So what happened was, most of us at that time, we depend on scholarship or state loan or government loan or private sector loan to continue our education. And the first fear that arises is, if we fail, we will be kicked out. The embarrassment. How are you going to face your parents? How are you going to face your friend and all those things? So that fear is very intense. Then the fear of being kicked out from the university, that shame and all those things. So all this become accumulated without you knowing it. And we call it the phobia. That's why after many years of working, even after you have graduated, some even with very outstanding result, first class honors or all those things, they still have this type of dream, nightmare. Yeah. So when you go to memory, actually, if you really understand, you are like living in hell. You are creating all your wrong thoughts that trigger of suffering. Yeah. As I have defined, what are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Thoughts that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow, your lamentation, your insecurity, your phobia, your lack of peace, your great resentment, hatred, envy, jealousy. All these are the result of wrong thought. So when you start to see all this happening within you, with mindfulness and awareness, that is how you develop the understanding. That there is this understanding that can help you reverse all this. Through what? To reverse all this wrong thought, you need right view. So this wrong view need to be reversed. Huh? You need right view, which means you have to straighten your view. That's why straightening our view is one of the meritorious action, one of the important cultivation. So mindfulness can enable you to do it. When you are mindful and aware, you can do this. So now you see the importance of sati and mindfulness. Without this, you cannot observe. And you cannot understand how you function as a human, how you are conditioned into negativity, how you react and stir your mind and create all the wrong thoughts that lead to suffering and misery. So through seeing all this, you start to straighten your view. Then after you have straightened your view, we are reversing all this. What must you do? You must learn the new way of action. What is the new way of action? Wisdom. Yeah. The Dhamma way, which is basically Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you need to have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. So instead, one must act with wisdom via the Dhamma way, applying the Noble Eightfold Path. So now you understand why you have to realize the Dhamma. Why you must cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Why this is the meditation that the Buddha called the way out of suffering, the fourth noble truth. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. That's how Noble Eightfold Path can free the living being's mind. That's how you develop the understanding to cultivate. Please don't get me wrong. When I say don't act according to memory, you don't want to use your memory. Don't be so foolish as that. Memory is important. I already explained to you all, technology is not a problem. Don't blame technology. So don't blame thought, understand? Because basically, it's the user of thought, understand? The user of technology, the user of this memory. If you accumulate all the wrong memory, the wrong data, like the computer, everything output will be haywire. Understand? Syntax error and all the problem. But if you have got the right programming, the right view, the right accumulated memory, then memory is beautiful. Understand? That's why the user of memory can give rise to the appropriate right thought. When you have all the correct memory, means what? When you no longer carry the psychological memory that has the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. When all your memory are based on Dhamma understanding, Noble Eightfold Path, no negativity, right view leading to right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, via cultivation of four right effort consistently, then mindfulness leading to samadhi. To realize all this, to see all this clearly, then transform your views, your understanding, to make your memory beautiful. Then the user of this memory become different. Can you understand? Yeah? So this is how the understanding of the teaching must be developed. And all this that I share with you and teach you is not in the Dhamma book, one, I tell you. Not even in the commentary, you cannot find. But this is through mindfulness and awareness that you see and realize, then only you can. That's why all these unique Dhamma quotes that I share with you all, at that time you all don't realize the depth of it, the understanding of it. That's why when Ingby was able to pick it up, my nature rejoiced. Then he sent to me, then I edited it and compiled it. Then I realized it's actually so beautiful. Then when I was looking for a title, I can only come up with this word, unique. It's very unique. You cannot find it other place. To understand all this and develop all this code, you need wisdom. You need Dhamma understanding. Otherwise, you cannot compile all this. Yeah. And all this, you cannot find in books. Maybe except thought is respond to memory. You read Krishnamurti book, he always talk about that. But he didn't explain. So here is where today's session, the first part and the second part, I explain it in very great detail. Hopefully with this, more and more Kayamita, more and more cultivator of the way, can develop this penetrative understanding. And with this, you will awaken very fast. Very, very fast. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Open up for second session. Meditation reporting followed by Q&A. Yeah? Any question? And Dhamma sharing on Dhamma in daily life.
我好像忽然间明白你讲的这个东西，你应该可以明白，因为我一直 relate to 我那个在 retreat 的那个 experience，就是那个 sutter 的那个 那个 thought 一直在那个 chattering 的时候 ，although 我没有去 react， but 我只是一直静静的看住他 ，but 我现在我回来了。 Burger，你那天的 explanation，
<Yeah. S
1> 我在 recall 回，我 relate， 哎，我突然间可以明白很多的那个 dharma 在里面。Because
after I explain， <Yeah. S 2> you will start to see it and understand it. Because you all were not able to see all this because nobody explained to you all. That's why I was able to pinpoint what went wrong. Because when you saw that guy, yeah, who's supposed to help out. Instead of doing his duty, he went to the kitchen and talk and do a lot of things that is out of the norm that actually most people cannot accept. That's why you straight away perceive him with negativity and you wanted to reprimand him or do something, tell him or advise him or whatever. So all this is the result of that wrong perception. When you perceive that situation with negativity without mindfulness and understanding, then it accumulates already. Then this thing, when you meditate, you remember you say lingering at the back. Not strong, but lingering. Why? Because memory, you accumulate. And thought is respond to memory. Whatever you cannot accept, it becomes a reaction. That dislike, that phobia, that negative perception means you want things your way, which is not nature's way. You fail to have the right view at the moment of sense experience. When you perceive that guy, you cannot develop the yonisoma manasikara to accept him for what he is. The world is the world. People are just the way they are. Society can have its rules, but the situation at that time within that retreat or whatever, there are basic causes and conditions everywhere. It applies to everything, every person, even the participant of the retreat, those who register, those who are helper, those who are there to teach or whatever. They have their condition. And based on their conditioning, their understanding or their lack of understanding, they will do things accordingly. Understand? So when they do things accordingly, that is the way they are. That is the way nature is. Condition like that, things will be like that. But when we as an individual, whether you are a helper or you are a retreat participant or you are a teacher or you are the owner or whatever, or visitor, you have your own views on what this thing is. So that's why I say never be rigid. Never hold on to rules rigidly. Rules, even the precepts, is meant for certain purpose. That's why it's introduced to take care of certain purpose. But when the condition is no more there, means it has failed in its like intent to manifest like traffic light, then don't be so gullible and rigid as, hey, the rules are very clear, no, you cannot talk, no, you cannot go to the kitchen and do all those funny things. No. This is what your Sankara will tell you, understand? Then it's about what? Reasoning, right and wrong. That's why now you understand why I say don't use the thought to reason. Don't use the thought to judge. Don't use the thought to analyze. When you start to analyze, judge, and reason, and compare, you create duality one. Right and wrong one. And what is right and wrong? Relative truth. Not ultimate truth. Right according to who? To you. You can justify. The rules say so. It was laid down. So what? The reality is, you perceive a negativity where you cannot accept what happened, you react to it, then accumulate it, then you cannot meditate. So you will start to have more and more understanding when you understand the first part. The moment of sense experience, that's why I say uniso manasaka, you don't have means you don't have. Then accumulation go in. The negative perception conditioning all went in already. And this is the one that trigger off the thought that create the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the unhappiness, the duality, the views, the opinion, the condition. So all this come from memory. Come from the way we develop the accumulated memories. And most of the memory before you have the Dhamma and the understanding is all rubbish inside it. With the evilness. So, Dhamma cultivation is to have the stability of mindfulness to see all this. If you hear from me or those who have developed the cultivation, then you know how to apply it and do it and see it for yourself, then it's very useful. But if you accept what I say and don't reflect, don't contemplate, and don't cultivate the stability of mindfulness to see it yourself, as good as knowledge is of not much use. Because that knowledge is your memory. You can quote me. Hey, brother, they'll say, don't do this. Don't act like that. That's why I want to prevent you all from going the wrong thing. Don't go and fear memory. And so, memory is very useful. Without memory, you cannot live life. Understand? Because you need thought to live life. But you need to have the Dhamma to guide you with the right view, to straighten your view, to arise the right thought. That's a novel evil power, you have a right view leading to right thought. You need thought. So memory is just like any technical thing. This is only hell when you don't have the Dhamma. But when you have the Dhamma, the user of memory become different. Because memory, you can straighten your view. All the wrong thought, all your views, the conditioning, the belief system, you can straighten them. You can develop the understanding that these are worldly memory, psychological memory, duality, conventional memory, within the world, within the conditioned world. But within the conditioned world, there is also what they call important memories. Non-psychological, which Jay Krishnamurti saw it also. Non-psychological means what? Doesn't involve emotional. Understand? And what are these non-psychological memory? We call it the important memories. Like where you live. What is your name? How you sign your check? To study technical thing you need non psychological memory, understand? You need logical memory, understand? Technical memory, scientific memory, then knowledge type of memory. Yeah? The knowledge type of memory is like you study history, you study geography, you have to remember the date. And all these memories are important, understand? You study all the history of past civilization, of religion and all those things. So all this type of memory that doesn't trigger our psychological memory, which is without the wisdom, can give rise to the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Those are wrong memory, negative memory. That's how. That's why psychological memory is hell. Because psychological problem, you cannot use thought to resolve. Thought cannot see beyond thought. Thought will condition you, get you trapped deeper into thought. Understand? That's why you must go to awareness. The awareness which is aware without thought is non-egoic. The non-egoic can let you see. The egoic one will reason, analyze. Why you say wrong? I learn from certain teacher, this is right. I have to have all this right understanding, right view, and he interpret it through what? Through knowledge, through analysis, through reasoning, through comparison, then through all the what they call thought process. If you do that, you will get yourself more and more entangled, more and more muddled up. The thought cannot go beyond thought. Means you cannot realize the Dhamma which is beyond thought, beyond mind. So one unit is sati, mindfulness. That's why without sati, without mindfulness, you can't. Okay? So slowly, slowly contemplate into all this and go into it. Then you will develop better and better understanding. Because what you listen is also important. But don't just accumulate as memory. Reflect. Contemplate. Then when you are meditating, even in your formal meditation, develop awareness to understand the movement, the activity, to see things as they are, to understand who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being. Then in the midst of life, you need to have that daily mindfulness, the stability of it, to see your mental intention. Within, to see your content of consciousness, to see how all this from memory you go in. Like at the retreat, my wife mentioned how you go to memory to retrieve and perceive. Then you become that thing. Actually, it's dependent originating because of that wrong view, the conditioning, the belief system. Then it creates the movement and make you like that. Then the movement of thought create the emotion, the fear, the worry. But fear was never you. All these emotion and mind states, they are sankara within the mundane activity of mind. They are not intrinsic within your true mind. Your true mind has got no word, no concept, nothing. That's why before fear arrived, there was no fear. Then how can fear be you? Fear is definitely dependent originating based on wrong view, wrong thought, because of sakyatiti, self-delusion, then the ego trigger off, the first part that I explained. From there, all this can be understood. That's why you need to reflect, contemplate, silence your mind, then see the movement, the understanding. Then when you see the movement and the understanding, this unique code, like suddenly, become very, very penetrative and profound. It's like you read the how to give you the analogy. You all didn't see the Chinese saucemen on Wu Xiaoxiao on. They got this they call in Cantonese Bei Cup, you call what in Mandarin?
Mi Chi.
They got the Kung Fu, the Mi Chi, we call it the Sutra. They got the Mi Chi. You go through that one, then it will explain to you all the movement. You know? And that one normally got two parts. One part is the physical movement one, the training one. But he didn't teach you the Xingfa, understand? The mind aspect. So without Xingfa, you do the movement, you can go wrong. Yeah, you don't have the Xingfa. But when he teach you the Xingfa, the fellow pick up the physical very fast. But without the Xingfa, the physical alone is like gulat. what? Bull strength. No use. Understand? That one without wisdom. But with the Xingfa, it like harmonized. The two like become harmonized. Then it become a complete thing. So all this you need Dhammako, you have mindfulness, sati, stability of it, you will see, understand, and they become like beautiful Dhamma. They will appear to you very penetrative. And it's like you manage to read the backup. Then you know how to actually develop it. That's why without all this understanding and pointer, not easy, I realize. That's why a lot of people do the Buddhist meditation, the practice. I mean, not to say you want to say bad things or comment. The way it's been done is no longer penetrative. It's no longer the way it can awaken living being. You need all this understanding. But this is what life is. This is what the actual movement within the form and mind. And this one, during the Buddha's time, I believe they talk about it, but they may not have so many of this type of words. That's why the Buddha, actually, during that time, there was no writing, nothing. He just, through his proclamation, through his Dhamma sharing, he teach and all this. So as he teach, over time, if you are together with him, you will understand what? It's like you all. I only came out how long ago? 2004 when you just asked me to come out. Maybe 18 years by now. But I was ready in 1989, which was 30 years ago. So even not everybody is with me for 18 years. Most of you are less. Even within this period, because of my constant sharing and kayamitaship and interaction, all this understanding over time you all develop already. You all have developed much of the understanding, and some can assimilate quite a lot of it already. That's why you all can understand what I say much more easier than other people who never heard me speak. But surprisingly now with the YouTube sharing, a lot of people never see me in person, never met me, can understand and appreciate. Why? Because if they reflect and contemplate, they realize this is what the actual happening within their own form and mind. That's why the unique Dhammako 21 to 26, she was full of joy, that lady Lisa. She said, that is the best Dhamma lecture he has ever heard. The explanation and the description. And these are so penetrating. Because most of you don't even realize that you are acting according to memory. And what is memory? Oh, you cannot understand. If I don't define it using my own understanding and words, you think all this got written in other book? Don't have. You cannot find. I have to come up with all those words and understanding, even specific phenomenal awareness, spacious awareness without a center, the stability or sati, awareness-based meditation, all this, the four support. They are not easy. Because to unravel the truth, you need a lot of this understanding. Because I realize without all this understanding, there is no way. Unless you have very strong past. your past cultivation, like my nature or some of the grabbing, and then they don't need so much words. They hear the proclamation, they hear the truth, they awaken. But to stabilize until you have this ability to explain like that, you need time. You need time. They may awaken, but they cannot express it. They cannot explain it. Like a lot of you all, Kayamita, when you hear me share, it's like very simple, very direct, like very easy to comprehend. But when you cover this up, don't have it as a note or what, you cannot retrieve much. Understand? Maybe you all can remember the saying, but to explain the saying, it takes a while. It takes stability of wisdom and understanding. So all this, you all will start to develop as understanding. That's why as we continue our journey and evolve, the Kayamita force will be very different. The understanding of all this Dhamma will become extraordinarily different. So the next few years, I believe before 2025, a lot of you all will become very different. Then the time we will talk differently. We will really talk differently. Life become like very different. The lot of understanding will surface.
Virgil, 我今天听你 explain 这个 acting according to memory is not acting at all. 哇，我觉得。 突然间很多的 understanding, yeah. 很多的 meaning 在里面.
You have a different depth of understanding already, because early on it was the initial exposure, the initial like sharing for you all to reflect and contemplate and go deep into it. But I realize most of you all, for you to go into it, it's not easy. Very difficult, and I have to explain. It's only after I explain, that's why I say I need causes and conditions. I need you all to ask questions and all those things. It's because of that. And we are lucky, we are this Thursday class, we have this unique code to guide us. This one are the code from me, you know. That's why I can explain it with such depth, is because last time you are not ready. How to go and explain all this? Our class don't need to go on already, understand? Every unique code also, like today only two code, understand? The other day only one code. If every code also you take one session, then how to have Dhamma sharing? So all this, you will start to understand. So luckily, all this, you all should thank Amy actually. She go and keep in the computer, you know, all this. Then when she heard that I want to extract all this, and somebody suggested we put into a book form, I think Pramasuri suggested, then only he sent me the whole record of what he has actually recorded, which means she was very attentive when she was listening. And she managed to pick up all the unique codes, so many of them. I was also very surprised. I said, did I spoke so many? Until that thing sent to me, then I remember I took 2 days to look at it, and I recompiled it. That's why it become what it is. Sadhu. That's why I use the title straight from the heart. This is not from memory, and unique Dhamma code.
Actually, during that 那个 retreat 的时候，当我在 go through 这个 experience 的时候，我发现到我很多的地方不能够明白，我就知道说我 lack of 那个 wisdom。但是我回来我 report 给 Baradu 了以后，Baradu 也在 explain 的时候，我这几天又在重听的时候，哎，我突然间我可以明白很多的东西，我可以看到很多的 Dharma 在里面。 Especially Baradu, 你那天 你 further 的 explanation 那个 two part 就是 condition and unconditioned 的那个 dharma， 因为我觉得哇，这个是 like another angle， another aspect to see deeper 的那个 dharma，
to penetrate the dharma， because initially when you awaken， your realization is just a glimpse， But good enough is in your nature already. But you all don't understand. You want to remember, understand? You want to use your memory. Then every time you want to reason, then you realize sometimes your experience in life, what your problem is the condition Dhamma one. Because that one I already told you, that one is very, very much more difficult to stabilize the condition Dhamma. Because that is life itself. Life itself has so much duality, you understand? Because it involves the thought, it involves all the analysis, the reasoning, the condition Dhamma, the duality. And that one is unending, understand? That's why there's a lot of Dhamma inside there. But the ultimate one, the unconditioned Dhamma, is just the understanding, the awakening. Once you awaken, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, he no you, he no me, finish. Your suffering is gone. But to live life, like I explained to you, tan san, si san, means ordinary seeing, mundane seeing. Then when you realize the truth, kan san pu si san, that is the direct seeing. But to go back to normality, which is the stability of the unconditioned and the conditioned, when you understand both sides, then kan san yu si san. Means mountain is still mountain. It depends on who you meet, who you talk to. At that condition, Dhamma, that wisdom, is very, very much more difficult because the conditioned world has its own truth, has its own Dhamma, its own reality, like law of karma. The unconditioned, no need law of karma, understand? He no you, he no me, where got karma as far as unconditioned, because it's only about suffering, understand? It's through delusion you cling, then the ego arises, then it has the living being that is subject to karma. And because that is subject to karma, the form and mind has a duty. But the form and mind, if you need to free, you only need the unconditioned Dhamma. And that's anicchang dukkha anatta. Finish. Everything is dependent, originating condition, arising cause of not. He know you, he know me. Finish. Then you have to come back to life. That's why living life is the Bodhisattva way. Very extensive, eons and eons and eons of cultivation and perfection to reach the extensive exposure and understanding so that you know how to apply all this Dhamma within the conditioned world. It's both the unconditioned and the conditioned. The unconditioned already not easy to realize, but most people can do it. But once you realize that, most people still cannot live life. Why? They don't know the real meditation is Noble Eightfold Path. They think silent, meditate, very fantastic meditative experience. Oh, they enlightened already, awakened already. That is not enlightenment. As far as the Buddha is concerned, without Noble Eightfold Path, the embodiment of it, you cannot live life. You are not an Arya in the true sense, understand? That's why the Arya got the four noble quality of good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, dutiful conduct. The last one, dutiful conduct. The wise conduct is the unconditioned Dhamma, understand? Yeah. The good conduct is for living. Upright is all law of karma, all the same, also for living. Then the last one, duty, do your duty. That's why I also came to the same understanding as Ajayantra shared with me. Right Dhamma is a right duty is right Dhamma. That one Alicia also can remember. Without the ability to have right duty, to do your duty, your responsibility according to the law of karma and the right view, you cannot have the right Dhamma. Means right Dhamma in the midst of life, understand? Then that form and mind that has the wisdom, the right Dhamma, will know how to live. Understand? Live life. Live life means what? Do his duty. Cannot simply do things. Although we go beyond duality, understand? The unconditional. But law of karma recognizes right and wrong. Understand? That's why the Buddha still teach you avoid evil, do good. Understand? Otherwise, he don't have to teach you. But this is for the world, for the form and mind. You have to abide by this. You know, all this got karmic implication. So that part is very difficult. So that part, you have to go through the whole training, the Bodhisattva way. Or here is, I spit out all this understanding because my nature from the past, I inherit, I understand, I share all this. Because this sasana, you all can understand. So you plant the seed of Bodhi, the yellow card, and go all this Bodhisattva way. As you cultivate, all this you will assimilate and understand, and you will progress very fast. That's why that right view, everything that I mentioned, is very important. So that every line you come, you will have all this understanding. Then you will understand why acting according to memories. Because in the Theravada Sutta, there is no such code, understand? Acting according to memory, all these things don't have. Then acting according to Dhamma way also, they don't teach you how to act. They only teach you the essential Dhamma.
我现在听了你一直在听这些Dhamma，最近觉得哇，这个 Dhamma 真是很 beautiful， 很 wonderful， 哦，里面的那个 explanation，
yeah， it's very wonderful and very amazing， and very unique， that's why they say 真空妙有， that one in the Heart Sutta is very beautiful. It relate the unconditioned and the conditioned. 真空 is the unconditioned. And when you understand the unconditioned, that existence become wonderful as a miao you. You wei fa ma. True emptiness is wonderful existence in the conditioned world when you live life. But you must penetrate true emptiness. From there you come out and live, it's very easy. But the understanding part, to have the complete understanding, is not easy. That one takes long, long cultivation, like the Bodhisattva, eons and eons. You have to go through all the civilization, all the combination of condition, existence, to witness a lot of things, to see all this. Like I explained to you all, even during my birth in the 50s until now, maybe the 20 something, going to 2030. You see, all this, about 6 to 7 decades, so much thing has changed. Our civilization has evolved, and this is the transition period. I call it the golden year, the golden window, where a lot of things happen now. And we get to witness the old and the new. And the new is happening so fast over the last 3-4 decades. Especially in 1980, my daughter's year, the millennium one, the X generation, then Y generation, Z generation, then the next one, I don't know what generation. But these are all fast moving one. The IT and all things. Then you look at how the crime happened also, very different. Last time, where got snatched thief? Last time, Ku Gang the man. Then snatched thief, snatched the woman. Now, scam everybody. Now, everywhere also cannot scam. So, it's an evolving civilization. When you want to understand the Dhamma, you have to go through all this. That's why I can understand all this movement, all this evolution. That's why I keep on sharing with you all, especially with my daughter sometimes. We all sit down and discuss. I explain to her how beautiful this era is. I saw the 50s, the 60s, then the education system, then how I go through, then how I came out to work, how during my time it was like that, then their time is different. And this civilization can even continue. Well, maybe I live another 10 years, I don't know. Another 10 years, maybe 2 or 3 something. By then, I'm 80 already. But for them, they got another 20, 30 years to go, no? Maybe 20, 60. No? 80 years old is 20, 60. Yeah, you're 1980. 20, 60, a lot of things happening. So, all these are very, very beautiful. So, Dhamma is really, really, like you say, very wonderful, very ao miao. Or in Mandarin, Alicia Nora is in Bangkok. She can use very nice Mandarin words. She know how to use them. Okay, we better end. I heard the alarm already. So let us rejoice with the good sharing today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So now we will share merits with all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata ca bhumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumodito cirang rakantu hukasa sada etawata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabe deva anumodantu sabha sampati siddhiya idang menya tina hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang menya tina hotu sugita hontu nyatayo idang menya tina hotu sugita hontu nyatayo devo asatu kalina sasa sampati heto cya Pito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko ebina punyam kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, you all can pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.